If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. On this Sunday, June 22nd, it's a real joy to greet you again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here at Worth Baptist Church, we're rejoicing in the good things that God is doing for us during the days of our summer revival. Remember, summertime is revival time at Worth Baptist Church. The first three Sundays of June have been record-breaking June Sundays in our church. We praise the Lord for new records in the month of June, for Sunday school attendance, for additions to the church, and in every phase of the church's ministry. We believe God is wanting to do something for our nation. We believe the great need for America is a vast turning to God, a spiritual awakening, a spiritual revival that will turn men's hearts back to God and back to the Bible. We are praying that God will begin such a work here in the city of Fort Worth. And we want you to join with us all over the city and across the Metroplex to pray that God will awaken America to the dangers we face, that God will open the eyes and the spiritual perception of men in government, that they might see that the great need of the hour is for America to repent, for America to experience a spiritual awakening. You join with us today and each day in the summer that God would send a genuine revival to our land, and that He would begin that work right here in our own city. If you do not have a church home, or if you're looking for a place to visit today, we invite you to come and visit with us at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. The textbook of our Sunday school is the Bible only. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. You'll discover the joys of learning the Word of God right out of the Bible, because we teach from the Bible every Sunday at 10 o'clock in the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. We are in a series of messages on Sunday evening entitled 1975 in Prophecy. We began this series back in the month of January. We will conclude it on the first Sunday of July. When this series is concluded, there will be 12 cassette tapes of messages in this series, which means there are 24 messages on the book of the Revelation. Now, we would like for you to have these messages, and we're going to make them available to you. 12 tapes, 24 messages, for the small price of $19.95. You could send a check or a money order to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Just ask for the messages 1975 in Prophecy, or just ask for the current series. 24 messages on cassette tape can be yours for the small price of $19.95. My message tonight in this series will be entitled The Great I Am, from the 22nd chapter of the book of the Revelation. We invite you to come and share these things with us at Worth Baptist Church today. Our location is 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Last year we purchased 14 acres of ground on Loop 820 at Campus Drive, and we're looking forward to moving in that direction. But in the meantime, right here at our present location, we invite you to come today to Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. This word of special announcement, next Sunday we have designated as God and Country Day here at Worth Baptist Church. We're looking forward to a wonderful time. That's 1 week from today, Sunday, June the 29th, God and Country Day at Worth Baptist Church. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Redeeming the Time. I'm going to read from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful today for the freedom of worship. We thank Thee that Thou hast given us a place and a time, a method and a manner of worship. We thank Thee for the church and for the Bible. We thank Thee for our salvation today. We would pray that as this message fills the air, that many hearts might be blessed, that souls might come to know Christ. We pray for a revival in our nation, a genuine turning to Thee, a spiritual explosion. We pray that that spiritual awakening, that revolution of spiritual things, would begin right here in our own city and in our own hearts. Bless, we pray, the shut-in, the sick ones, those, Heavenly Father, who cannot be out today to worship Thee in public assembly. We would ask that this broadcast would be a blessing to them. Bless us now, we pray, as Thy word is proclaimed. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. And now in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, at verse 14, Paul writes, Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Time, in the eyes of the Apostle Paul, is a fragment of eternity, much like the poet put it. Little drops of water, little grains of sand, make the mighty ocean and the pleasant land. And the moments, though little they might be, make the mighty ages of eternity. God Himself is beyond time. In fact, God is beyond all limitations. But in His wisdom, God has given us time as a solemn stewardship. I am of this persuasion. You and I must give an account of how we spend our time, just as much as we're going to give an account of how we spend our money, our energy, and our talent. With God, there is no past, present, or future. All periods of time are alike to the Almighty. God sees everything as though it were happening in this second. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, at verse 1, we read, In the beginning, God. You see, God always was. There was never a time when God did not exist. God is now, and God forever shall be. With us, there is a past, there is a present. But what about the future? As for the future, we know not. The wise Solomon said in Proverbs 27:1, Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You may have great plans for tomorrow. You may be thinking that next week you'll do this or that or the other. But my friend, you do not have the promise of tomorrow. You have only this moment, this second. And I would say to you that you ought to use it wisely. Heed the words of the poet who put it this way. Life is a story in volumes three, the past, the present, and the yet to be. The first is written and laid away. The second we are writing every day. The third and last of the volumes three is locked from sight, and God keeps the key. Listen again to the words of my text. Paul said, Redeeming the time because the days are evil. No one would deny that we're living in evil days. The newspaper reports, the television and radio news tell us that we're living in very difficult times. I read today the account of our school systems all across America, the violence, the crime, the murder, the rape, all of these things that are happening in grade school and in junior high and senior high schools. All across America, crime is rampant and sin is rampant, and the moral fiber of our nation is being eaten away like a cancer. My friend, we must wake up to the fact that we must redeem the time, because these days in which we live are evil days. Surely these are the days of which the Apostle Paul spoke when he said to young Timothy, that in the last days there shall be difficult, perilous, trying times. We're living in those days now. Therefore, we should heed the words of the apostle to redeem the time because the days are evil. From this text, I note three things, basically. Number one, we are exhorted to assess time redemptively. As a merchant assesses a commodity before he buys it, so must the Christian assess time. Why would we say this? Why assess our time? Because time represents the greatest investment that you can make. There are two reasons for you to assess your time redemptively. First, time is sacred. God hallowed time by sending His Son to die in time. In Galatians 4:4 we read, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son." All documents, all newspapers, letters, legal transactions, commercial transactions, political transactions, governmental affairs, all of these things are dated from the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christ is the focal point of time and eternity. Therefore, I say to you, time is a sacred trust. In Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses, at verse 12 we read, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Not only that, but time is short. There are 24 time zones in the world. In every one of these time zones, the time is now. I read in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Jesus said, "Come, for all things are now ready." In Romans 13:11, Paul wrote, "And knowing the time, it is high time that we awake out of our sleep." Hosea 10:12 says, "It is time to seek the Lord." And in Hebrews 4:7, we have these words, "Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart." Time is so very short, we do not well to waste a moment of it. If you waste money, there's a good possibility that you can regain it. If you waste energy, there's a possibility it can be recovered. If you waste talent, there's a possibility you can recultivate and recapture your talent. But if you waste time, there is no way on earth for you to make it up. Paul said, "The night is far spent," that is, the night of sin, "and the day is at hand." Jesus tells us about a rich fool who thought he had all that he needed and all the time that he wanted. The rich fool said to himself, "Soul, take it easy. You have much goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But you know, in that very night, God said to him, "Thou fool, that this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and that which you have will be somebody else's." Listen to it again. "Thou fool, this night," not next week, not tomorrow night, but this night, "thy soul shall be required of thee." Let me ask you a question. If perchance the death angel came to your home tonight, if God said to you, "This night you'll give an account of your life," how would it be with you? What about your time? Time is so fleeting that God gives it to us only a second at a time. What we do for Christ, we must do it now. The most important element in the Christian life is the time element. It is now or never. Someone put it this way, "I've only just a minute, just 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it, give an account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but all eternity is in it." My friend, you should assess your time redemptively, because it is sacred. and because it is short. In the second place, we are exhorted to acquire time redemptively. Take a single day, 24 hours. Universally, people sleep an average of 8 hours. They work an average of 8 hours. Now, I know that some sleep more and work less, and some work more and sleep less. But on the average, 8 hours. So 8 hours work and 8 hours sleep. That leaves 8 hours, a third of your lifetime. What are you doing with your time? It has been estimated that if you were to attend church 3 times a week, never missing a service, and live to be 70, you would spend only 9 months in church. That's less than 1/70th of your lifetime. How do you spend your time? All too often, we let time get away from us, don't we? Some people kill time until time kills them. We're all guilty in this area. And I have this recommendation. If you have any time to kill, work it to death. Some people simply pass time until time passes them. Then there are those who waste time until time begins to waste them. Shakespeare wrote, and I quote, "I wasted time, now time doth waste me." David Brainerd, the great missionary who died at the early age of 29, wrote this lament. And I quote, "Oh, how precious is time, and how guilty it makes me feel when I think I've trifled away and misused it, or neglected to fill up each part of it with duty to the utmost of my ability and my capacity." End of quote. How true David Brainerd was. Time is precious, and we should feel guilty when we waste it, because wasted time is wasted forever. In the third place, we are exhorted to accredit our time redemptively. And we can accredit our time redemptively by doing 3 things. First, by living a guarded life, that is, a life of witnessing for Christ. Your life as a Christian is not your own. It is a guarded life. It belongs to God. Second, by living a guided life, fulfilling God's purpose for your life. The admiral who sails with his fleet under sealed orders, does not know all that's in the packet, but he leaves the port prepared to do 2 things. First, to understand what the will of his government is, and second, having understood, to obey it. Now, my friend, if you're going to accredit God's time, if you're going to live a guided life, there are 3 things you need to do. 1, you need to find God's will. 2, you need to follow God's will. And 3, you need to finish God's will. Then there's this business of living not only a guarded life and a guided life, but thirdly, you should live a governed life, a life that is governed by the principles of the Word of God. I read about a group of preachers who were discussing whether or not to call Mr. D.L. Moody to their city for a revival meeting. One preacher gave glowing reports of Mr. Moody's success. And they took a vote, and they all agreed to call him except one. And this one preacher said, "Does Mr. Moody have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" The spokesman of the group replied, "No, Mr. Moody does not have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. But it seems the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Mr. Moody." Let me ask you a question heart to heart today. Does God have a monopoly on your life? Is your life monopolized by the Holy Spirit? Or is your life monopolized by pleasure, sin, lust, greed, selfishness, personal ambition, selfish desires? What is monopolizing your life today? Who's in control in your life? Are you redeeming the time? Are you living a guarded life, a guided life, a governed life? Are you redeeming the time in view of the evil days in which we live? If not, I would admonish you to come now and let the Holy Spirit take the reins of your life and begin redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I have this footnote, and I shall be through. You should redeem the time because time is running out. If you have a work to do, do it now. If you have a class to teach, teach it now. If you have a song to sing, sing it now. If you have a kind word to speak, speak it now. If you have a good deed to do, do it now. If you have a dime to give, give it now. If you have a soul to win, win that soul now. If you have a prayer to pray, pray it now. If you ever intend to get right with God, get right now. If you intend to be saved, get saved now. If you intend to join the church today. Because the days are evil, we should redeem the time. I trust now that you'll be resolved in your own heart to turn the reins of your life over to Christ today. Come to church. Give God a chance. Let Him answer your prayer. Let Him make a new man out of you. Let Him help you to solve your problems. Make a new start today. In church, remember, we'll be waiting to see you at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And so until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.